Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Greg is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Porpoise Pod with your hosts, Brendan Tobin and Alejandro Solano.
I find it to be so critical that they make the playoffs this week in Solana, and it sucks that it's not in their hands because I feel like it softens the blow so much if they are able to get in there and he's able to play in a playoff game, because you're like, all right, we can now just look at the season as a whole. If they don't make the playoffs, it's tough. It's going to be tough for anybody to think about anything but the collapse, and I understand why.
Yeah. No, I mean, it would be the worst collapse maybe in South Florida sports history. And it's hard to come back from that. I'm with you on everything you said about McDaniel. I think he's proven enough. I think it would be crazy to get rid of him after a year when clearly, I mean, he's well-respected. People now believe that he can be a really good head coach in the league. And I think he's proven that. But Tobin, I'm not confident about this Sunday, and I hope I'm wrong. You know, I'm not confident about this Sunday at all, man, at all. And you know, what happened with DeMar Hamlin, I mean, that's devastating, right? But just looking at it, I know it's hard to do. Like, I'm not trying to push that aside. I mean, that's a crazy story. It's tragic. And I'm wishing the absolute best for him. But just from a Dolphin standpoint, which is a lot less important, I know. But, like, if this Sunday Buffalo has to go play the Patriots, like, you're expecting that team to suit up on Sunday and go out there and just perform like they always do? You know what? Like, really, like, I mean, I don't know what the NFL is going to do.
I don't know. Who knows? I mean, like, listen, right. They could be coming. They could galvanize around it, and they could go kill the Patriots because they're just so – you know, they need a release because they've been, right. You know, they're not talking, at least they didn't talk to the media. We're doing this on a Wednesday night. So I don't know if they're going to talk to the media this week. I don't know how that's going to all work, but yeah, that's it. Look, you have your brother sitting in a hospital bed right now. I would totally understand if they didn't want to play in a long time. I mean, it's a real, real unfortunate domino effect that they, or even reasonable that they have to go figure that out. But, you know, from, you know, the Dolphins in this perspective, like, yeah, you're going into a situation this week with a third string quarterback, a guy who was drafted late, who impressed the holy hell out of everybody in the preseason, hasn't really done that in the regular season. The Dolphins, to their, you know, if you wanted to their defense, have not had a game with a backup quarterback where they've just had one backup quarterback every game. Somebody gets hurt in the middle of that game. No quarterback who's not Tua can just seemingly play a game. So I go into it thinking, okay, the best thing is go through this week, prep Skyler as the starter. Hope he doesn't poop the bed. And if he does, maybe Bridgewater's pinky's okay enough to play. But I just don't know if Teddy's like, I don't know if I... It's tough to know like what the gap is there right now between a banged up Teddy Bridgewater and a well-prepped Skylar Thompson against this Jets defense, which by the way has been awesome this season.
Yeah. And they want to win this game. Like, this isn't a game where they're going to, you know, they're going to bench their starters. Like, the Jets want to play spoiler to the Dolphins. Why wouldn't you? We did it. Ted Ginn Jr. Patriots. Had his best game ever and played spoiler. We played spoiler to the Patriots too, to keep them out of the one seed in the bye. They end up losing to Tennessee a couple years ago. And we played spoiler to the Jets a couple times already. So, you know, they're going to be up for this game. They're pissed they didn't make the playoffs, and they're going to want to come and ruin Miami's season.
I saw Rob Sala's quote this week, because him and McDaniel are super close, and he goes, "Yeah, I hope he joins me poolside." I'm like, "Damn, that is a jerk thing to say, but also funny. Yeah. I got to respect it."
Yeah, very funny, very funny.
You got to ruin your friend's winter. You know, no fun for you.
Yeah, Sala's, he needs somebody to go through all of those receipts with.
I'm gonna tell you something right now.
Receipts he was wrong about.
Let me tell you something, Sala. You're not invited to Fountain Blue. You spoil the playoffs, all right? You are not invited. We're not. I'm gonna make sure Garfinkel keeps you off the list, dude. All right, you're gonna have to go somewhere like, I don't know, like
Cancun.
You're not allowed down here, Sala. I'm sorry, dude. You can't just bounce the Dolphins from the playoffs and think that's gonna be acceptable. I'm not accepting that. So, you know, Mike Glennon, though, you know, that's a great emergency plan. Did anything make you sadder this season?
Did you see the stats about Mike Glennon? Hasn't won a game since 2017. He's like 10-350 in his NFL record, something dumb like that. I mean, they brought in maybe the biggest loser of all time to be on their practice squad.
I would love, what would the pay-per-view price be for you to get a Hard Knocks version of Chris Greer calling up the quarterback Rolodex to see who says yes?
Oh, I lost you there, Tobin. My bad. What can you repeat the question? I lost you there.
So I'm asking you this. Like, what's the pay-per-view price? What's the pay-per-view price you would pay for a Hard Knocks version of Chris Greer going through the quarterback Rolodex and then ending up on Mike Glennon? Like, how many quarterbacks does he call before he gets to Mike Glennon? Like, do you think there's a Fitzpatrick in the middle of there? Is there a Cutler? Like, you know, listen, Chris Greer has been through a lot of quarterbacks since he's been here. Does he call up Matt Moore? Like, who are the guys he gets to before they're like, you know what? I don't want your $64,000. And then you get to Mike Glennon and he goes, sure.
I love the idea of Big Ben being on that list. Philip Rivers, just like, he goes and he's like, we can probably convince Philip Rivers. Come back 1 week. We need one win. Come back.
Dial it up, dude. Just let's see what you got. You can do this, Philip. Like, just be a hero. And maybe you don't even need to be. You know, just if you need a little break glass of emergency. If not, here's 65K. No biggie.
Yeah. Yeah. And he calls up Big Ben. He's like, hey, I know, Steelers guy. He never played anywhere else. But look what they did. They forced you out for Kenny Pickett. Yep. I mean, come back one game.
Disrespectful,
and help us win this one. And Big Ben's just like knocking down a brew. He's like, I'm good.
Yeah, it's exactly like when Adam Gase called up Jay Cutler back in the day. Jay Cutler's just got a pack of smokes. He goes, all right, $10 million, I'll do it. I guess.
All right.
But that's the thing, is like, it's not for $10 million. It's like, what's the minimum? And it's like, oh, listen, $65,000 is nothing to sneeze at for the rest of us. But I'm saying, like, just for NFL, Mike Glennon's made some money. He's just like, all right, yeah, I'm in. When do I get? When, I think he said he was at like his son's basketball game. He's like watching Junior, and he's like bricking shots. He goes, "Listen, son, I don't think I'm going to make the next one. I'm going to miss this weekend. I got to suit up for the Dolphins, maybe."
Ryan Fitzpatrick was 100% discussed, though, right? Like that was a discussion.
Ryan Fitzpatrick called himself. Ryan Fitzpatrick called up. He goes, "Hey, Chris, I'm ready when you need me, buddy." You know, he's got a stupid
texted him a pick.
Definitely. He probably called Gesicki. Gesicki, can put in a good word. I'm ready. I'm tired of sitting next to this Whitworth.
I'll throw you 10 passes on Sunday if you get me in there. I'll throw you 20 passes, Gesicki, if you get me in there.
Do you think Gesicki thinks to himself and he goes, man, I really like Tua as a guy, but like I seem to only have my good games when he's not in there. Like, he doesn't really look Gesicki's way.
Yeah, I think he is so, unless he's throwing a pick in the Packers game. Correct. I think he is so ready. He is so ready to get paid this offseason that he's just smiling through it all, baby. He's LeBron, just smiling through it all. And he knows the paycheck is coming. Maybe not $10 million like he would have gotten this offseason, but it'll be a nice chunk of change for Gesicki. So I'm not even joking, Tobin. At this stage in the season, he probably is prioritizing health over everything else. Like, all right, fine. Throw me out there for six plays. Whatever. I'll stay healthy. All good.
I do wonder, though, like you get that, you know, it was such a storyline going into this year about them not locking him up, and he gets franchised, which is great. You make a lot of money. $10 million, like, sign me up. But, you know, everybody wants to get that long-term deal, and you have this immediate marriage that's awkward and doesn't seem to be working. And it's known like from the second week of camp that he's not, you know, doing things to the coach's liking. And like, how does that not affect your value? Like, you go in from a season where you are, everybody looks at you as one of the bright unsung tight ends. And now one of the problems is when you're unsung and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, you were kind of forgotten by your own team this year. Doesn't that kill his market going into this summer? I mean, obviously he's not going to stay here. That's very clear. He's going to move on to something else. But I wonder what that does for him in the market.
I don't think it does, because, I mean, I don't think he's, you know, as sought after as maybe he would have been this offseason. But Tobin, I don't think it does, because I think most people know that he's a pass catcher and he was really good at it when he was playing. And Mike McDaniel just didn't use him. Like, I think most people realize that, you know.
Feels like he's got Chicago Bears written all over him.
For sure. For sure. Chicago or even Jets. Jets. Overpay him. Yeah. Yeah. That's how Mike White is going to become a Pro Bowler. Give him a Gesicki. Go ahead. Go ahead, New York.
All right. That's our Porpoise Pod, everybody. We, you know, it was a rough day for all Dolphin fans who had to learn about Mike Glennon. And of course, a rough day for the ping pong table, but we're smiling through it all. As Solana said, just like LeBron, who didn't have the guts to play the Heat tonight.